We're on.
Okay. Okay, so we had just finished looking at the main sugya of Zika, and we left with a question. Oh, we have that on the board. All right, we'll put it back. Here we have the machlokus of Zika, which is whether, right, there is some degree of ishus between the yavam and the yavama. And we had Rav saying ein Zika, which means that there is no relationship between the yavam and the yavama, and Shmuel saying yesh Zika. And we pointed out that if I had, let's say you didn't know anything about the rest of the Maseches, actually, even we've seen it once so far, this Masechet Haggadah Orta, if I had told you there was a machlokas about Tfisas Kiddushin, the Yavama Loshok, and it was a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, right, you would guess that who would say there's no Tfisas Kiddushin for Yavama Loshok, and who would say there is Tfisas Kiddushin? You would guess Rav says Ein Zika. Rav would say Kiddushin Tosin, because Rav holds Ein Zika. There's no Ishus between the Yav and the Yavama. There's just a mitzvah for them to do tomorrow. But meanwhile, they're not married at all. So if someone else in the Kaddish heard, that was a bad thing to do. It was an Aveira, Mosiah Chutz Lishzar. It's a diversion of resources from the mitzvah. But there's no reason she shouldn't be married. And Shmuel, you would think, would hold Ein Kiddushin Tosin. If I guarantee anyone, you pick any yeshiva guy in the whole world, if I told him to look at Rav Shmuel and not let him look it up, this is what he would have guessed. Kishmol, it's Yesh Zika, what do you mean? They're already married. If they're already married, then Kiddushin can't be Tosin. She's already taken by someone. Except for the fact that the facts are almost exactly the opposite. If you just go to Tzadi Beis and Beis for a second, Amar Rav, Minayin Shein Kiddushin Tosin Bivama, Shenemar, Lo Siyah Ishta Mesa Chutza Le'ishzar, Lo Siyah Bahavaya Lazar. Rav is the one who holds Ein Kiddushin Tosin, because the pasuk says Lo Siyah Isha Mesachus L'Shzar. She cannot, not a lashon of lav, but a lashon of impossible. She cannot be married to a zar. Shmuel Amar Ba'ani Yoseinu Tzricha Get. Shmuel says she needs a get, which means he thinks maybe Kiddushin Ar Tosin. It's not Menachatze Lekatze. Shmuel is not sure how he holds, although from Tzadi Vavim and Aleph, we'll see he definitely leans towards saying that Kiddushin are Tofsim, but he says maybe Kiddushin are Tofsim, because Mesapkele the Shmuel Hai Losiya Ishtamesh Ilalavu Dosa Idlo Tofsim Kiddushin Hu De'asa. He's not sure whether it means there's no Tvisa Kiddushin, or maybe it just means there's a lav. She shouldn't marry someone else and, you know, betray the obligation of Yibam. But if she does, it's still Tofes. So this is a big mystery of seeing the modern Echronim point this out, that you would think there'd be a simple question of, is there already an ishus between them, or is there just supposed to be later on? And if you hold their Zika, then they should already be married, she can't marry someone else. And if you hold Ein Zika, then there's nothing yet. But it doesn't seem to work out with Rav and Shmuel, so we have to answer up the shitas of Rav and Shmuel. So after Shir, I argued this a little with Matan, and he pointed out that which of these two is going to be the easier, which Amor is going to be easier to resolve, Rav or Shmuel? What?
Rav.
Rav, okay. Anyone disagree? So I thought Shmuel, there's a very easy technical resolution for it. Let's first work on Shmuel. Shmuel says, Yesh Zika, but on the other hand, he says, right, he says, no. At least he's Masukah, right? Kiddushin Tosin. Meaning, he's sure there's Zika, but he still thinks Kiddushin, he's sure there's Zika, but it's still quite possible for him Kiddushin to be Tofes. If there's Zika, then how can Kiddushin be Tofes over someone else? I thought that would be easy to explain. Because what is the mainstream interpretation of Yesh Zika?
It's not full.
Yesh Zika is not full Ishus, correct? Not only that, according to most people, it's only Yesh Zika, only Drabanan. If Yesh Zika is only Drabanan, then that's what I thought, that Yesh Zika is not such a good proof. Either, number one, you could say, according to Rov Rishonin, Yesh Zika is a gzeira midrabanan, right? But midoraisa, there's no zika, right? That could be. That's why Shmuel's not so hard. If yesh zika only run, yeah, midrabanan, they were gozer, certain chumras because of yesh zika. But if someone else comes and marries her, she's still in kadesh to the other guy because midoraisa, she's not married at all. Yesh zika is only gzeira midrabanan. And even if you want to go a little further, and even if you want to say, as we saw, that maybe Rashi, right, hold that it's the Oraisa, and there was certainly a possibility, right? We'll call it a tzad, in the Ramban and the Ritva, who said maybe it's really the Oraisa. So you might say if it's the Oraisa, then Shmuel's going to be in trouble. Yesh zika midoraisa. But as Simcha said, even if yesh zika min haTorah, they're all very clear. Yesh zika min haTorah doesn't mean full ishus, right? It doesn't mean they're 100% married. We'll see next time. Maybe Rav Oshia, who's wrong in the end, but while he was thinking of Shita, according to Rav Shimon, might hold that zika geknusa, full marriage. But that's a das yachid that's mufrach in the Amoraim within interpreting a das yachid in the Tanakh. That's very, very far from mainstream. So even if yesh zika min haTorah, zika is only a partial ishus, and therefore it could still make sense. Zika is only a partial ishus. It could still make sense that kiddushin tofsim because she's not. exactly. Good word. She's not fully married. Okay, so I think this is definitely possible within the opinion of Shmuel. We'll see. Okay, maybe we'll get a chance to see the Rav takes a little more specifically. But for Shmuel, I think basically we can answer that. Don't worry about yesh zika. He really holds they're not married. And he really holds yesh zika only chumra d'rabbanan. Even according to the minority sheet that's d'oraisa, he can say, so there's a partial relationship between them, which is enough to create isurim, but not enough to prevent the kiddushin of someone else from being chal.
There's a case of chetzi ama, chetzi bas chorin. A normal person can't be mekadesh, can
he? So that is a big machlokes. But that might be different, because there, it's not that she's partially married, it's that she's only half a person from the perspective of kiddushin. The more parallel question, the more parallel case to you would be someone who's actually their whole person, they're partially mekudeshes. Like, for example, the case from Yochanan in the beginning of the third parak of Kiddushin, where I say to a woman, Yukudeshishli, Me'achshav u'la'achar lamed. Kiddushin starts now and finishes later. In the middle, someone else can be Mekadesher, and she'll be partially Mekadesher to each of us. Or, for example, the case in the eighth parak of Gittin, and I'll leave it to the possibilities that you would hold if it would work, but I would say, Haram Mekadesher to everyone chutz from you, then she's like partial Mekadesher, you can be Mekadesher. So I think that that's because it's half a woman, but if it's just a partial relationship, then Kiddushin could be Tofes. All right, that's Shmuel. I think Rav is going to be, there is more to say, of course, but let's go to Rav. Rav is going to be very much more interesting. I think Rav holds, on the one hand, Ein Zika. Ein Zika meaning it's, forget about the Lizyamin for now, right? It's mutter to marry her sister or her mother, etc. There's really, even Lakula, we say, there's no relationship at all. Don't worry, there's absolutely no relationship. Yet, he holds Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. So, if Ein Kiddushin Tofsin Vama L'Shuk, meaning she's, what do you mean? She's so married to me that Kiddushin already been Tofsin for someone else. So why isn't there at least Zika? Why? You know, how could she be so married that it prevents anyone else from being Kaddish her, but yet I'm allowed to marry her mother, I'm allowed to marry her daughter and her sister, right? It doesn't seem to make sense. So how would you be Miyashiv Rav? So, Matan, what did you want to say at first?
Different history that makes
sense. Now you have to say, who says that Ein Kiddushin Tofsin has to do with there existing some sort of ishus. Maybe ain kedushin tofsim just because there is a zeris hakasav. Right? So I think there are going to be two ways to answer Rav based on, I guess, three ways of understanding why ain kedushin tofsim b'vam l'shuk. Why are not kedushin tofsim b'vam l'shuk? One answer might be not because of ishus, just a zeris hakasav, right? Meaning it's not that she's taken. No, she's a pnuya gemura. She's a pnuya gemura with an obligation to do something in the future. And usually, if you're obligated to do something and you don't want to do it, then you'll just be punished up in Shemayim for not doing your assay, but you might succeed in getting out of it. In this case, the Torah made Xeris a kusav. She is obligated to perpetuate the shame of her late husband with his brother. If she decides to attach herself to someone else and try and avoid that obligation, the Torah is gozer that it doesn't work, that she's not able to get out of the obligation, and therefore Xeris a kusav, that she can't marry anyone else because Hashem didn't want her to eliminate and erase the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, usually if you want to erase a mitzvah by getting yourself into a funny situation, you might succeed. But in this case, Gzeiras HaKasav, that you try to get out of a mitzvah by being kaddish yourself to someone else, doesn't work. Just Gzeiras HaKasav.
But normally, B'chai Be'lavin, ain't Kedush Tovsin.
That even B'dievid, she can't eliminate the mitzvah. Correct. That's why here it's a special Xeris HaKasav. Often, if you do Kiddushin in a way that you're not totally supposed to, it is Chal. But there are many cases someone does Kiddushin in a way that wasn't so great, it would be Chal. In this case, Xeris HaKasav, for whatever reason, Hashem was so makbid on the mitzvah of Yibam that he said you cannot be Mekudeshes. But that Hashem said you can't be Mekudeshes. But it has nothing to do with her being married already. She's not married yet. She's a regular Pnuya. Just the Xeris HaKasav that she can't get married because of this mitzvah obligation. In this case, then, Rav works perfectly fine. Ein Zika, there is no marriage relationship at all. Not midoraisa, not midrabbanan, not at all. The reason Kiddush Aron Tofsin is the Xeris HaKasav. She's a regular Pnuya on the street. There's just Xeris HaKasav and Kiddush Aron Tofsin and an obligation to do something tomorrow. But right now, she's a regular Pnuya. That's what Matan said, and that is what he should have said. I just pointed out that now he's getting to a machlokes between three different Lashonos in the Gemara and Tzadik Hei Amud Beis, going on to Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph. So if you turn from one to Tzadik Hei Amud Beis, we're jumping into the middle of a very, very complex sugya, which is very technical, but we will just try to take the parts that are relevant for us. If you look at Tzadik Hei Amud Beis, six lines from the end. Yivama, the ha'itmar yivama. Third word, six lines from the end of Sadeh Hamid Beis. The ha'itmar yivama. Rav amar harika ishtish. Rav says yivama is like she's married. Shmuel amar ainika ishtish. Shmuel says it's not like she's married. So what if, I take that back. I'm assuming. Rav says she's like an ishtish in some way, which may or may not be very relevant. Shmuel says she's not like an ishtish. But I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the first pshat. The three pshat of what it means, Keish, not Keish, Zish. This, I'm just going to put Pasha pshat in the Gemara on the board so that we will be able to keep track of it. Rav says, Keish, Zish. Shmuel says, Eina, Keish, Zish. The first pshat is Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, it refers to a Gzeira Drabanan of people getting confused. Amr of Huna, Kigon Chakidish, Achiv is Aisha, Mahalach, Golden Sayam, Vishamish, Mes Achiv, Vimad, Vinoses, Ishto. It's a technical case where normally, let's say a stranger, right? Joe Goldstein is Makadish a woman, goes to Medina Sayam, and I heard that he died, from one person that he died. So am I allowed to marry his wife? Yes, right. That's the debate. Achad beisha vaguna hekilu barabanan. Right. And what if he comes back? That's the whole Mishnah. Teitzei mizeh uzeh. Even though you might say it wasn't really anyone's fault, it wasn't bemezid. We have a knas that she is a sword of both them, and the blood bonds for both them, she's a sword for both them, and b'chuli. 13 different ways the rabbanim were machmir. What if it wasn't Joe Goldstein with it? It was my brother went to Medina Sayyam. My brother went to Medina Sayyam. I heard that he died, so I had to be Miyadim's wife. And then he shows up again. So, is this more, can we be more makel? Why should we be more makel? The Rav Amar Harika Ishdesh Vasura Liyavim. Shmuel Amar Enik Ishdesh Vishariyalei. The Yavam actually means the first husband. Not the husband who you thought was dead. It's like this. The Gemara said, this is within the day in the Gemara, that why, if the husband comes back, can't she go back to her husband? It wasn't her fault. She didn't do it on purpose. The answer is because of a gzeira. A gzeira that you might think you can divorce your wife, marry someone else, and then she'll come back to you. So, Rav says, she's ke'eshdesh nesura, that gzeira applies. Shmuel says, in this case, the gzeira doesn't apply, because no one will think that my brother divorced her and she married me and then I divorced and she went back to my brother, because you can't marry a girl your brother divorces. They'll all realize that the only reason I married her is because of Yibam, but they'll see he's alive, so they'll realize I thought he was dead, and they'll know I have good reason to think he was dead, so they'll understand what happened and it won't be Xera. So the machlokas Ram and Shmuel here is not a machlokas about, or at least doesn't have to be, a machlokas about the nature of a Yibama. The machlokas could be ke, right? The old ke question. Doesn't mean they're arguing whether your Yavama is an Eshesish or she's not an Eshesish. It means they're arguing whether she's like an Eshesish and has a certain Gzeira Drabbanan, or she's not like an Eshesish and they didn't make a certain Gzeira Drabbanan on her, and it all has to do with what people will think. That is Rav Huna's interpretation. So according to Rav Huna, Rav, she's Eshesish. Gazu Rabbanan Iser Beniseis Va'acharkach Ba'bala. Rav thinks that they did make the Isser Drabanan, because Rav says, why is there a Shas Drabanan? Because this is talking about a case where, sorry, I didn't read it carefully, Kidei Shachuv, the first brother only did Kiddushin on Yisuin, so people might think that, why did the second brother marry her? Because it was a Tanai in the Kiddushin that wasn't fulfilled, and then they'll think she can go from one brother to the other. Okay, this is all Shema, Yomru, Vichuli. And Shmuel holds Lo Gazru Shema Yomru Vichule. Okay, they argue about whether they made a gzeira that people might misinterpret what happened or not. They don't seem to be arguing about the nature of a Yavama. Seem to be arguing about when Chazal were Gozer, someone would come to the wrong conclusions based on misunderstanding a story. That's the first opinion. Now, if we skip to the Daf Tzadik Vav Mem Aleph, the end of the first line, Mi Mai Dasu the Rav Huna. Who says that Rav Huna, it's going like Rav Huna, Rav Huna's the right shot? Dilma lesser Rav Huna Chal, maybe Rav Huna's now what they're arguing about. Uch Rav Rav Hamnuna Kamifli, Dham Rav Hamnuna, Shemesh Yamashes in Sash Shurli Yavama. Dirav Amaria Keshdes, Umifsil Biznus, Shemoma Eni Keshdes, Umifsil Biznus. Right, what do we call this Isser when a woman is Mazana as Asher, her husband? Isser Sota, right? So the question is, if she's Mazana, does she also become Asher to the Yavama? To the Yavam, rather Yavama. Right, so that's the second shot. It doesn't have a name in the Gemara. The second shot is Rav says Keishus Ish Yeshba Iser Sota Keishus Ish, and Shmuel says Eina Neseris Al Yudeznos. They argue whether if she sleeps with another man, she violates the Eishamishu Chusul Ishazara. Does that, just like if she was married and she went with another man, she'd be also to her husband. Rav says, like an Eshdesh, she marries, goes to another man, she's also to her Yavam. Shmuel says, not like an Eshdesh, she marries, goes to another man, she violated an Isser in the Torah. But she's still mutter to do Yibam. What's the third shot? The third shot, the Gemara says, V'inami, B'kiddushin, that also doesn't have a name, B'kiddushin, Tofsin, B'kiddushin tofsin yivama kamifligi. The Rav Amarei Keshdis lo tofsin b'kiddushin. Shmuel Amarei Keshdis v'tofsin b'kiddushin. They already argued about that in Afsari Bez and Jays. They only argued once, and then they Talmidim repeated another Lashon based on when they argued once. So here he says, Ke'eshus Ish. Ein Tofsin Ba Hidushin. Ke'eshus Ish. And Shmuel says, Tofsin Ba Kidushin. Tofsin Ba Kidushin. Funny, he really says he's a Masabek, but I guess he leans more towards thinking Tosin Bakidushin. Apparently we see from this Gemara that he leans more towards saying Tosin Bakidushin, he's just Masabek. Now, from this Gemara, it sounds like the reason Rav says Kidushin or Tosin Ba is, what's the reason he thinks Kidushin or Tosin Ba? She's like an Ishus Ish, which doesn't fit with what Matan said. Matan says, she's a Pnuya Gemara. There's just a Xeris Akasa Kidushin Artosin. That's not some Adurk in this Gemara. In the Gemara, it sounds like, they want to say what they're arguing about. The way they express their argument is, Rav says she's like an Ishus Ish. And Shmuel says she's not like an Ishus Ish. Sounds like Rav's really claiming there's Ishus here. How about according to the second day up, where Rav said if she's Mazanes, she becomes Usur with an Isra Sota on her Yavam? Is he claiming there's real Ishus here? According to the second day? Yeah, meaning the second and third day of both agree. Rav thinks there's a real marriage here. Now, it doesn't matter which nafkamina he says. He could say there's a real marriage here. The nafkamina here isn't a real marriage. If you betray your husband, then you become usher to him. Or he could say there's a real marriage here. Nafkamina is you can't marry someone else.
Who's she married to?
What?
Who's she married to?
We'll come back to that in a moment. That's an excellent question. So what I'm claiming is that according to the last two deos here, it really sounds like Rav is coming from a place of Ishus. I think this only matches first daya in Daf Tzadi Hei Tzadi Vav, not the next two dayos, right? It only matches the first day and not the next two dayos. It only matches the day that says Ke'eshus Ish and not Ke'eshus Ish is just a shorthand way of referring to some technical zera. But according to two of the three dayos, Rav really compares to an Ishus Ish. Rav really thinks there's Ishus. So that's why I think Matan's answer is attractive at first. It's very attractive at first to say, how do we miyashiv Rav? And Kedushin told me Xeris Akasa, but there's no Ishus. But it's not so pasha, because Rav says Ke'ishus Ish, and out of two or three deos, he really means there's Ishus here. Ke'ishus Ish, and that's why she can't marry anyone else. Ke'ishus Ish, that's why she does no, she becomes usher to her Yavam.
You could explain the same thing by saying that Zerah Sakasu goes even farther, because only you know Jibu was the Kayim Shein Achim. If she sleeps with someone else, then already you don't even know where anybody's coming from, and the whole concept of the Kayim Shein issues is wiped out.
Okay.
So that's why.
Theoretically, I think you're right, and if you really want to argue with me, then I might not be able to stop you. You could say, no, even according to this third day, he doesn't mean there's no Tfis Kedushin really like an Ishus Ish. Just, she's coincidentally like an Ishus Ish that there's no Tfis Kedushin. And even for the second day, he doesn't really mean that there's an Isser, a Znus, an Asr, because she's like an Ishus Ish. He means coincidentally she ends up like an Ishus Ish. The reason Znus answers her is because he saw her in a Kama Shein, which is very clever, but in a good way. I admit you could say that, but that's certainly not what simple shot in the Gemara. Shot in the Gemara is that, because what you're claiming is Ke'eshus Ish is like coincidentally, not terribly close. And when it says Ke, you're always allowed to take either interpretation. But I think the simple shot in the Gemara is certainly that Ke'eshus Ish, there's no Tfis Kedushin for the same reason as Ishus Ish. Ke'eshus Ish, there's an Ishus Nus for the same reason as Ishus Ish. So I think you could get away with it, but certainly the simple shot is not that way. Which then at least gives us an incentive to think about, is there another way to interpret Rav's in Kedushin Tofsin Yivam Lashuk? So of course, the other way to interpret is that Yivama Ke'eshus Ish, because there is Ishus of the Yavam in the Yavama. But then, Rav Shita in and of himself is impossible. Right? Say, no, he really thinks Yavama ke ishes ish, she really is married, there is a marriage between her and the Yavama, not 100% marriage, but a degree of ishes between her and the Yavam. Problem is, then it's not going to work for Yezika. And if now you can tell me, no, I'm going to say there is a degree of ishes, but find some reason why every time the Gemara says ain Zika, just that particular part of ishes doesn't apply, it's going to be very hard. Pashas ain Zika means there's no degree of ishes. So the question is there a C? Is there a way to say Yavama ke ishes ish, but still defend ain Zika? Is there a way to really consider Yavama like an ishes ish, but still explain there's no Zika? And there is a very simple way, which is
supposedly in Zika, so didn't the Yavam and Yesh and the, but the Yavama, the Shomer Yisrael has Zika, and therefore she.
Yes, but you could say that better. You're right, but you could say it better.
Because the issues of the original husband.
Exactly, and the only reason I didn't call him at times is because I knew he was going to say that. But I wasn't sure you were going to say it, so I figured I'd give you both a chance. So exactly, just say Yavama Ke'eshes ish. Not of the Yavam, but of the mace. What I'm claiming is there are three ways to understand the status of the Yavama. There are three ways to understand Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. The truth is, these are also three ways for Yerei Kiddushin Tofsin to understand the Isser of Yavama L'Shak, right? Whether Kiddushin or Tofsin or not. What's the problem with Yavama L'Shak and why would Kiddushin not be Tofsin according to one and the other? One way is, it has nothing to do with Ishus. It's because you're supposed to do something and not interfere with your obligation. That's why it's Usser, and maybe that's why it's even B'di'evet Nachav. The second approach is, no, it's because you're already partially married to the Yavam. There's a Zika to the Yavam, that's why you can't marry anyone else. And that's why if you do, it's not Tofes going to Rav. But that's not going to work for Rav himself personally. Third possibility is, no. She is an Ashes-ish. She is a shtickle Ashes-ish. But not of the Yavam. The Yavam didn't do anything yet. She's still an Ashes-ish of the mace. And that's the Chiddush of Yibam. Usually when a fellow dies, his wife is not married to him anymore. But that's in a case where a fellow dies with kids or without brothers. But if a fellow dies without kids and with brothers, then he has not yet released his wife because he needs Hakama Shame. Since he hasn't released his wife is still married to him. Obviously not to the same degree she's married to a live husband, but his wife is still married to him. And that's why she's ushered to the Shuk, because she still has an Ashes Ish from her original husband. And that's why Kedushin wouldn't be Toface. Not because of Zika the Yavama. Then Rav is Nicha. There's no Zika to the Yavam, just to the mace. Nicha ain't Zika. Ain't Zika. The Yavam's allowed to marry her mother. The Yavam has no Zika on her. The Yavam has no relationship with her. His brother happens to still be posthumously married to her. But he has no relationship with her, therefore he can't be made for Nidarim, and he can marry her mother and all the other nafkaminas of Ein Zika. It's just her brother still is Ishus. This is a bit of a chiddush, but this is the Rav was sure this was the right shot. In Rav, is this really, is this really, yes?
Then why should she have the Isurim of Sota on the Yavam? She's only married to the mace.
Okay, good question. Good question. How does this work? Why, if she's Mazana, should be usher to the Yavam? If she's Mazana, she should be usher to the mace. So the answer is Pashit. What, according to this shot, what's the whole mitzvah of Yibam? The mitzvah of Yibam is not to marry her and create a new marriage. The mitzvah of Yibam is to take over your brother's marriage. And just like we learned, if she had been Mazana on your brother when he was alive, you wouldn't be allowed to take over that marriage because it would already be a marriage of Isser. Likewise, she's on your brother when he's dead. It's not just becomes Usher to you. She becomes Usher to him. But if you want to take over that marriage, then she's Usher to you because all the Isser over the marriage are taken over by the Yavam. So I think it still works perfectly, especially in light of the fact that Isser Sota always transfers to the Yavam. That's called B'Mutula Nesra, B'Asula V'Kal Shekain. So it's not that she becomes Usher. She doesn't betray the Yavam. She betrays the mace. But if she betrays the mace, she ruins the relationship with the mace. Therefore, the Yavam can no longer take it over. He still needs to give her chalitza, but he can no longer take it over and remain married to her.
It's very hard to cheat on a dead guy.
Except in this case.
But Lemaisa, you're not betraying anybody.
Yes, you are, because you're obligated lahak and lo shame. One of the obligations of a wife is, I believe, that one of them, I'm not sure exactly where it says this, but I know some of the Achronim say it's obvious. One of the obligations of the wife is to have children for her husband, right? That's a din. It's also one of the obligations of a husband, l'chora. The wife is a taina, be'inan, chutra li'adi mor l'kvura. But clearly, one of the obligations of a wife is to have children for her husband. Usually, that obligation terminates upon p'tira of the husband. But in this case, she's still obligated to her husband. What's she obligated? Obviously, she's obligated a lot less than she used to be, but the one obligation she has is hakama shame, and by being hachutz leish zar, she is betraying that obligation of hakama shame.
I just want to mention, it seems to me that the possibility of the issues between the yavam and the yavama, in addition to being impossible according to Rav, is also very difficult if there are multiple yavamim and yavamot. Who is the issue between them?
Okay, good. So that's what you or someone else asked me before. And what if there's more than one yavam? Then who is the ishus between? So the you could say, if the easiest thing to say would be a gloy Muslim afreya to whoever does yibam or chalitza, based on some things we learned of yibam day. That would be the easiest thing to say. Would be between them all and yesh breira, and we'll figure out which one it was. That's the easiest thing. So we'll suffice that for now. Now, can you really be the wife of someone who's dead? So. This might tie into the Rav Yosef Engel is a beautiful discussion. This, he ends up with four possibilities. I simplified it. I hope you will all forgive me. this is a very famous discussion here, actually. He points out that it's not so crazy to be the wife of a dead person. First of all, certainly, you know, for us living in the... Does anyone know where the... I see three volumes here. There used to be four. Anyone see the fourth? Oh, there it is. Nandari, is that it? Just pass it up, please. Is it really possible to be the wife of someone who's dead? I mean, once someone's dead, they're dead, right? So, okay. So, I don't know if anyone's traveled to India, so they'll say, not such a crazy hobby to me. But we don't necessarily bring rice, and then halacha. Right? In halacha, we try to stick to shas. But what does it say in shas? The Gemara is very interesting. The Gemara, everyone knows the Mishnah beginning Kiddushin. Ha'isha nikneis b'shlosh drachim v'kesed b'shdar u'b'viyah. And that's how far you get in yeshiva. But then, you get a bit of machlokas, and then it continues. V'kones atzma beget with mistabal. How does a woman become a pnuy again? With a get or with mistabal? The Gemara says, Yud Gimel with Beis, I understand why she's called Asma Beget. It's a pasuk. Ela misa bal minalan. How do you know she's mutter if her husband dies? Maybe she's still an Eishes Ish. Smarahu, who else are we shut? What do you mean? It's obvious. It's obviously she's mutter if her husband died. She's not married to anyone anymore. No. V'arayis d'asol v'lo sharizu. What do you mean? When he marries her, she becomes usher to his father, and when he dies, that doesn't change. She becomes usher to his son, and when he dies, so who says it has to change? They come through all kinds of They come through all kinds of happiness. Maybe you can die from Yavama, that normally a widow is mutter to remarry. Maybe you can die from Kohen Gadol, can't marry an Almana, but other people can. In the end, they say those are not good rights. Okay. Then they have two rights. Either consent pen yamash milchama v'ishachir yichena, or o ki yamoso ishachron. Sorry, v'kasala sefer krisos o ki yamos. It's a hekesh of get to misa. But what's the principle here? They actually had a habamina that a wife stays Eishes Ish after her husband died. It wasn't a svara. They couldn't figure out misvara. They needed a pasuk. So what do we see from here? It was a svara, it's a svara. They need a pasuk. If they need a pasuk, then that raises an interesting question. Sort of, does the pasuk bring us back to the svara? Does the pasuk bring us back to where we stop? Basically, if you don't have a husband, you can't be Eishes Ish. Or no, maybe you can be Ishus Eish after your husband dies. It's just the Xeris Akasav that me says Materis.
No, Askana, did they use the possibility of Yibum? Was that the...
No, they did not at all. So, this is...
But at least in that Havamina, it was very clear that it was, at least for Yibum, was saying, even the Askana, she was for sure still married to the...
Correct. But, okay, I'm not going to go make too much out of that, but I definitely hear the Taina. This is a classic Hakir in the Achronim, which really, this is not the place for now, I'll just mention very, very briefly. Misas Habaal, is it that in the end we go back to the Svara? If there's no husband, there's no Isser. Or no, it's a Chalos Mater. It's a din that Misa is Mater her. Or I guess Misa would be Materis. This is a classic Hakir in the Achronim. Is it that if you don't have a husband, you can't be Ishus Ish, because Ishus Ish means you have to be married to someone? Or no, you can be Ishus Ish without a husband. It's just Xeris HaKasav that me says a matter like get. Nafgamina could be for the discussion of the late Rishonim and many, many Achronim about Ishus Eliyahu Anavi, right? Who never died, but went up to the Shemayim and became a Malach. So if you assume that if you don't have a husband, you can't be an Ishus Ish. If your Ish isn't around, then Ishus Eliyahu is allowed to remarry. If you assume no, you're an Ishus forever until you have either get or misa to be matter you. She didn't receive a get, and her husband didn't have a misa, so she was be'almud of chayyot. She would not be allowed to remarry. And similar case I mentioned earlier in the year, that if you hold like the Tzitz Eliezer, which always makes things more fascinating in Lomnus, I'm not sure which way makes things easier practically, that Tzitz Eliezer holds that sex change operations work halachically, so then you could have another nafkamina for a woman whose husband became a woman. If you held that, if you don't have an ish, you can't be ish's ish, then she's allowed to remarry. If you hold a get and misa's mater, he didn't die and he didn't divorce her, and she should still be Asur L'shuk. And I don't even know if he can give her a get anymore. She might be, you might get into serious shilas in this case. Okay, but this is a sort of classic Hakira. The classic nafkamina is Ishus Eliyahu. Nowadays, according to Tzitz Eliezer, we can have a modern day equivalent of Ishus Eliyahu because we don't have so many people who go up to the Shemayim and become a Lachim anymore. But I don't actually know of more than one since the time of Eliyahu. Could be Rishon Levi. but that's a whole classic Yeshivish Hakira. Is it that if you don't have a husband, you're not Ishus Ish? Or no, you can be an Ishus Ish without a husband. Just luckily, Misa is a Chalos Matir. I think certainly if you could go with either side of the Hakira, but it's certainly if you take the second side of the Hakira in Brown. Certainly, if you take the second side of the Brown Hakira, which is that, of course a woman's an Ishus Ish forever. Just, there's a matter of Misa. Then it makes a lot of sense. There's a matter of Misa, but in this case, the matter was not called fully. And then, of course, she's still an Ishus Ish to her husband. After all, everyone was almost an Ishus Ish to their husband, if not the fact that a matter was called. So for her, the Torah said the matter is not called so much. The matter is not fully called, so she remains an Ishus Ish, even according to the first side. You can maybe get away with saying that normally you can't be Ishus Ish without a husband, but here Xeris HaKasav you can. But I think particularly if you take the second side of the Hakira, which is that there is such thing as Ishus Ish without a husband. Just luckily there's a matter called Misa. You could say luckily there's a matter called Misa in 99% of the cases. But in this case, the Torah said there's no matter called Misa. And she's an Ishus Ish even though her husband's not around. And so would Eliyonov's wife. And that's, that. So I think then for sure you can understand this possibility. So Lamaisa, what we've seen so far is, we started with the Stir and Rav and Shmuel. Within Shmuel, we said we can really handle it because really, there might not be a relationship. And don't worry so much about Zika because it's only to Rabbanan, or even if it's the Raisa, it's only a very, very small partial kind of Ishus. On the other hand, when we get to Rav, it becomes more difficult to Stir. So we said, we had a three-way Hakira in understanding the nature of the status of Yevama, and the nature of why she's Asura the Shuk, and why Kedusha wouldn't be Tofsin in her to the Shuk according to Rav. We had three sides of Chakira, and according to one of those sadim, Rav didn't work. But it could still be we might pass him like that sad, because we don't pass him like Rav, but Rav wouldn't work. According to the other two tzadim, Rav would work. And one of the three tzadim, either Yavama is not married at all, she just has an isser to interfere with her mitzvah, her future obligation of Yibam, or she has a marriage relationship with the Yavam, or she has a marriage relationship with the mace, and don't be surprised, you can be married to a mace, explains Rabbi Yosef Engel. The Hav means that, we're Indians, and not Native Americans. The Hav means that we're Indians, and every widow is still married to her husband, and even the Kamashla might not be that you can't be married to someone who's not here. The Kamashla is that you can be married to someone who's not here, just as the Kalos Matar of Misa, but if you don't have that Misa, then there would be no Matar, and maybe in this case the Misa would not be a Matar, because there's a special Tzeres and Kasav that you still have obligations. Okay, now, if we just, now that we've resolved Rav and Shmuel, just to expand on this notion, Morty? Substitute Turk?
Yes.
To expand on this Chakira, we've now reached, I promise you I'll throw things in by the end of the year, and I see that it was rapidly approaching, so I'm trying my best. One of the most fundamental questions about the whole idea of a Yavama, an obligation of Yibam, the question is, what is a Yavama? Is a Yavama just a regular girl who has a mitzvah to do? Or is a Yavama someone who's married? And if so, is it that, sort of, when her husband died, he bequeathed, right? He was Morish's Ishas to the brother, and now she belongs to the Yavam, and all he has to do is to consummate it? Or is it no? Even though the husband's dead, that doesn't necessarily take you out of the picture, and she's still attached to her husband, she's still married to her husband, until she either gets divorced through Chalitza, or the brother steps into the husband's shoes through Yibam. So what we really have here, then, is different ways of understanding what the status of Yibama is, and different ways of understanding what Yibama is all about. So let us just try to point out in a very kitzer form these sugyas where this would come into play. Sorry. The question of the status of a Yavama. certainly, what we pointed out is in terms of Zika, here you would say, Ein Zika, at least Min HaTorah, because they have no relationship. Here as well, you would say Ein Zika. She might have a relationship with the mace, but not with the Yavama, at least Min HaTorah. You would be likely to say, Ein Zika. If you took this approach, then you would certainly want to say Yesh Zika. That's basically just repeating what we already had. This also might come up in just as a matter of interpreting the Gemara. In interpreting the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf. Dalit of Beis, the Gemara wants to know, the first seven Kiddushin says, Isha nikneis shvul shadachim kesef shtar v'biya, minalon b'kesef, minalon b'shtar, and minalon b'biya. So the Gemara Dalit of Beis gets to how we know biya, uva Allah, malam isha nikneis v'biya. The real makar is ki yikach ish isha uva Allah. But, how many follow dinner my yivama she nikneis v'kesef nikneis v'biya, after all, why not learn Kabbalah from Yavama? Yavama, you can't use Kesef Shtar, but you can use Biyah. So a regular girl, you can use Kesef Shtar, you can certainly use Biyah. So the Gemara says a little later, but lovely kra asyola, don't we know it from Yavama? Amar Vashmu de iklameim me ikra dina pircha. Now there's a fundamental pircha on learning Kiddushin from Yavama. Mehechi kamais islami Yavama, mali vamishkin zakuga vomedes, tomrazusha ain't a zakuga vomedes, tamalomer va'ala. You can't learn Kiddushin via from Yavama, because Yavama is fundamentally different than a regular girl. A regular girl is not zakuga vomedes, she's just a regular girl in the street. A Yavama is zakuga vomedes. What does it mean that Yavama is a kuka of the omedes? And keep in mind, since the Gemara is using this in the context of how to darshan something from the Pasuk, the Gemara is speaking on the deraisa level, of course, right, on the fundamental level, Yavama is a kuka of omedes. So what does it mean that Yavama is a kuka of the omedes? So says Rashi, Shekein zakuka of omedes lazam machmas kedushi ames, the ain be a ba'al olimor, a kinyan to me'ikara, lo. Rashi says, Zakuka Omedes means she's already, there was a Kiddushin already. She's already Niknes. She's not, he's not doing a Kenyan here from scratch. He's just doing a Gemar. There's already a Kenyan. I'm not sure in Rashi whether it means there's already a Kenyan to the mace, or there's already a Kenyan that the mace already bequeathed and handed over to the Yavam. But there's already a Kenyan here. And the Rabbi Elazar Mishazna, at the end of Tosa, says something similar. She came to Kuka Vomedes, Shabiyazoeno, Osel, Gomeris, Kedusha, Rishon. That just finishes something that Kedusha that's already here. However, the Re in Tosa says, Dachi Parach, she came to Kuka Vomedes, Labia. Zakuka, what is Zakuka? Zakuka literally means, how do you translate Zakuka? It's actually very hard to figure out the English word. What's the English word for Zakuka? She is. What?
Bonded.
It's really it's really more like she needs. It really is more kind of. She is okay. You know what? It's going to be hard to find one English word that can mean connected or needs or required. Question is, what is she zakuka vomedes? Rashi and Rabbi Elazar Mishazna say she's already zakuka vomedes. She has ishus already. She's already connected. There's already ishus. What does the Re say? No. Zakuka v'omedes labia klomer she'ikar mitzvaso v'hakim l'achav shein. What did Rashi and the Rabbi Elazar Mishazna say? She's zakuka, she's already connected, there's already ishus. You can't learn kedusha from here. Kedusha means to start from scratch. Here she's not starting from scratch. The Re says, no, that's not what it means. Zakuka v'omedes doesn't mean she's zakuka to him or to the other. It means she's zakuka to the bia. What does it mean, zakuka to the bia? There's an ikar mitzvah on her to do bia. She has a special mitzvah of bia. That's what he says. According to the Re, what the Gemara means is, you can't learn Kiddushin Bia from Yibam, because Yibam has a special mitzvah to do Bia, because Bia is what makes him shame, and a regular person in the street doesn't have a special mitzvah to do Bia. So how can you learn? The Yavama has a special mitzvah to do Bia. So that's why it's Kona first. It's a special mitzvah. Regular two people on the street don't have a special mitzvah Bia. So for him, the Zakuka means, you're Zakuka to do the mitzvah, and the koach of that mitzvah makes it different than a regular girl. For Rashi, we're loving Shazna, the zakuka means she's already zakuka to the mace and the and or the yavam, and therefore it's not like kedushin because you're not marrying, you're just continuing a marriage. So I think these two fundamentally different shots in kedushin are exactly this chakira. This is what was the lashon again? Shekein zakuka v'omedes. Yes, shekein zakuka v'omedes. The Re says zakuka. Le mitzvah hakamashem, or rather, let's even say it better. Zakuka le mitzvah bia. What does zakuka mean? She has an obligation of a mitzvah on her, and when she fulfills the obligation, it creates a chalos. You can't compare that to a regular person creating a chalos. For him, it's all about the mitzvah. Yeah, that's how he views the yavama. For Rashi and Rabbi Elazar Mishazna. And Rabbi Elazar, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Shazna properly in French. And anyone from France been there? All right. they say no. That it means she's already zakuka machmas kidushe hames. And now all you have to do is Ligmor. You just have to be Gomer. You don't have to be a Kaddisher. You just have to be Gomer, the Ishus that's already there. Does he mean like the Ishus already belongs to the Yavam, or that it's still the Ishus of the Mace? That is not 100% clear. It sounds a little more like maybe Rashi is more along the lines of he's already partially Mekudeshes to her. Rabbi Elazar Mishazna is more along the lines of no, she's already shy to the Mace and he just has to step into the shoes. But I'm not promising anything. One thing I am promising is that there's two ways to understand why this is different than regular Bia. The reason is it's different because here they're doing a mitzvah. Not because they have a different status, because they're doing a mitzvah. That fits very well, the understanding that Yavam Lushuk, someone has to do a mitzvah. The Rashi literally says, it's not comfortable to get there. Yeah, there's already a marriage. They just has to be Nigmar. It just has to be finished. That's clearly the other possibility.
According to the Reb, if she's just suffering for the mitzvah, why would it make a chalos of any kind of marriage?
So I think what you have to say is that once you do the mitzvah, then the Torah says that the result of or the continuation of doing the mitzvah, maslam mitzvah, or let me say it better. Where you said the mitzvah is to be make him shame, and as part of being make him shame, the Torah wants you to keep her. So that's how you're making shame by keeping her. We already discussed exactly how that's making shame, because then you'll have babies in the future, or because then you will just take over the obligations of the wife. But that's all part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is to stay married to her. It's not docha lav, that's all part of the mitzvah. Yes?
If you say it's a mitzvah, then you're not in the way that's saying that it's a hamshech of the kiddushin of the mitzvah. So, you can say that really, it's because of a mitzvah, but what the act of the bia, though, is a kiddushin.
Let's come back to that. Okay, the angle of Yosef Engel takes in this very very nice piece that I was assigned to here is another interesting nafkamina. The nature of the issue of Yavam L'Shuk, is the issue of Yavam L'Shuk a kind of adultery or not? What's the nafkamina? So he suggests maybe the nafkamina is. Would it be considered a davar shebe'erva? Right? Does it have chomer of arayos? So, is the iser yavam l'shuk an iser erva? You would think that clearly, if there was no ishus going on here, then why should be an iser erva? It's iser lavin. We know what iser lavin are. Mamzeres and asina and amon l'chayin gadol gushel l'chayin and hedyot. It's nothing to do with arayos. But if you say that there's really some ishus here, then it's quite possible to say maybe this is not a chiyuv karis and misos bezdin, but it's still an iser arayos because the partial violation of ish. A partial ish is also that's obviously the arayos, right? Why is according to many many achronim? A grusha la kohen is more chomer, and it's not yihar gal yavor. But chibuk benishik benishis ish is less chomer, would be yihar gal yavor, because one is a kind of adultery within arayis, the other is a kind of different isser. So that's our question: is this a different isser? Although it's a lav, you don't want to do any lavim, but it's not within the realm of arayis, or is it within the realm of arayis? One nafkamina that Rav Yosef Engel suggests, very mitbakesh, although he doesn't have any makoros up his sleeve, is would it be yehari v'al yavor to be boli yavama? So clearly, if there's no ishus here, clearly not. This is like a kohen and a grusha or Yisrael and a mamzeres and an asina. It's aser, b'malakum pikuach nefesh, it's mutter. But if you said that this was a type of ishus here, it's a kind of ishus-ish, it's a kind of znus of ishus-ish, then it might be quite possible. You might say still it's not so chomer, but you might say, what do you mean? It's at least abizrayu darayus. So therefore, it would be yor gal yavor.
Could you have yor gal yavor when you have a suffix? I mean, it's yitochein, you're not sure, so you're...
I'm not passing here.
Okay.
That, by the way, is a fascinating question. What if you have an actual suffix yor gal yavor? What do you say? Some Achronim want to say you can't say something about Lechumra because that's exactly the point you heard about Yavar. You have to say something about Lechumra. So that's a big Indian which we're not going to now. Some of the, where he does have some Mikoros is the very, very nice Noda Behuda arguing on the Mordechai. The Mordechai I have here says, it's in the back of our Gemara, Gam Heti Yivam Lashuku Erva Kishmol V'Rav Dami Tavari Per Rava Van Yusein Yutzricha Get. What does the Mordechai say? He says, basically, what does he mean by Rav and Shmuel? Rav says Kedushin is not Tofis. Shmuel says Suffolk Kedushin is not Tofis. So it's at least a Suffolk that Kedushin isn't Tofis. And he reads that is at least a Suffolk there's Ashes Isher. If there's Ashes Isher, that's Dover Shiva Erva. And Ain Dover Shiva Erva. It makes sense. Look, if it's going to keep Tfesis Kedushin, that's in the realm of Dabar Sheva Erva, right? And then he also throws in something. Suffolk Mamzer, meaning if it's Suffolk, whether there's Tfesis Kedushin, then Suffolk, whether we had here a violation of Eishas Ish. So maybe if we have a marriage in the Shuk, maybe the kid should be a Mamzer. Right? Which is a big Kiddush he has. That's the Mordechai. The Noda Behuda, which I put on the sheet here. Anyone have an extra copy of the Noda Behuda? Okay. It's a very, very beautiful paragraph here in the Noda Behuda because he really hits the nail on the head. He says, "V'hine re'isi b'mordechai perg mitzvah chalitza." And this is a big, big, big nafkamina. Nafkamina is whether, if you're talking about Yivam L'shuk, basically, is a woman a Yivam L'shuk or is she not, right? Let's say we want to know, like, did her husband have her brother or didn't he, right? We don't know if she's Yivam L'shuk or not. Or we want to know if she did chalitza or didn't do chalitza. Do we use the rule of Ein Davar Sheva Erva Mishnayim, or do we use the regular rule of Eidech HaBisurim here? So he says, "V'ine re'isiv Mordechai perig mitzchalitza shechasav zel l'shonu v'gam hetri v'mloshuki erva kishmul v'raf damer tavari perig mishrava nusayin etzur v'get v'avlat zavim mamzer v'in dar erfak v'shtayim akam l'shonu v'ine kam emelsa t'pini kachazinam b'dvarav mashigas shmul k'rav damer tavari hu shalob b'dektor." First of all, they didn't both say the same sheet. The Rav's really shati lo getim tzricha. But on the kam and kovo, that's not important. V'al mashigas shavlat zavim mamzer v'yadat is a shorish. What does he mean that if Yavama marries in the shuk, the vlad is zavim mamzer? I never heard of such a thing. Shim zinsa v'yolda v'znus havlad kasher gomer. The Yavama goes off to the shuk, the vlad is kasher gomer. This is ma'isim b'chol yom. This happens all the time. You have someone who's not from, whose husband dies and now kids, they get remarried, they don't know about chalitza, and the kid is perfectly kasher. They violate a law, we'll see, but the vlad is kosher. V'afilu hilo nesra l'yavam. And she doesn't even become asur v'znus on the yavam. Because we don't paskin. Remember that was the name there was Rav Hamnuna. The Gemara in Yevamos doesn't say how we paskin, but the Gemara in Soka seems very clear that the Maskana we don't pass like Rav Hamnuna. Kimavura, this soda daf yuches beish ain't a lach Rav Hamnuna. Kavachomish ain't a vlad mamzer. He says, "What do you mean? Why are you calling this erva? Why are you making this into a marriage and making the kid a mamzer? This is not like a marriage. If she's mezana, she's not usher to the yavam. If she's mezana and has kids, the kids aren't a mamzer. Don't call this dumb shem erva. Don't look at this as a marriage." I know about Rav and Shmuel and Tfesis Kedushin, but that doesn't mean it's a marriage. That might just be Gzeiras HaKasav. How does he say this? V'amli says, "Nis l'shuk she'az nesra ala yav v'yigim ul'drachim elu b'ashim mechvu v'isha ala p'adim v'yisra yam k'vur v'yom s'ad tzadi v'yizam v'beis that v'yil ha'ch l'ruf v'ram ha'vlad kasha l'rush ha'manz v'yir v'anim k'vur v'shuk v'nar v'sum v'kub v'test v'beis." He's doing Gzeiras HaRabbanan. Aval li'os v'vlad shum shash ma'am z'daraisa in shum deya. There's no possibility. What could be wrong with this vlad? His mother just did a regular lav. Kevin Jain shum shash ma'am z'daraisa shal Torah echavi d'rashim erva. Says, how can you call it a Dabar Sheva Erva? Meaning, I know, like, it has to do with Tfesis Kedushin somewhere down the line. But that's not in the realm of Arayas. That's just sometimes the Gzeiras HaKasav about certain Yisurim and the effect they have. The Lomi by the Shmuel, the Sober Shrikha get, Alofilo Rav Shomei Yvam Safai Beizam Beish Sober Kedushin Tostum Yvama, Filo Achim Dabar Sheva Erva Lo Mikri. Even according to Rav, who says, if someone else Mekadosh is not Toface, that doesn't mean it's Dabar Sheva. Just means there's some reason the Kedushin aren't toe-faced. Shai Rav Masechah Sot Daf Yechesim Beis Amar Rav Hamnuna Shemar Yavam Shizinsa Asur Livama V'Hainu Livama V'Hainu Karab Damar Ein Kedushin Tos Livama V'Hain Kedushin Tosos U'Mas Gazan Ein Olach Rav Hamnuna V'Hadei Tani Shemar Yavam L'Chuli Hamani Rav Yekiva Hi Damar Ein Kedushin Tos Yichai Lavin U Yeah. Okay, I think we've read enough to get the basic idea, and you've read it all already. This is a great note to Yehuda because he basically says, like, I have a fundamental argument with you, Rav Mordechai, and I'm going to go through, like, all the rayas that are told to the Kanul Khan. What does the note to Yehuda say? Is it called Ein, what about Ein Dabar Sheva Erva? Pachas Mishnayim. And does it create Mamzerus? So the Mordechai says, it is called Dabar Sheva Erva, and it creates Mamzerus. Okay, Suffolk Mamzerus. But Misafek, it creates Mamzerus. And the note of Yehuda says, says, what are you talking about? It is not Dabar Sheva Erva. It does not create Mamzerus, and Zinsa Lo Nesra Liyavam. He says, what's my raya? My raya, it's not Ishus. We don't like Rav Hamnuna, there's an Ishur Sota. There is no Ishur Sota in the Yavama. If she's Mazana, she did an Avera, but she doesn't become usher to anybody. So that shows it's not really Ishus. Oh, there's no Tfis Kedushin? Fine, there's no Tfis Kedushin. That's like Zeros Akasav.
But there's no...
and then he brings a raya that Zinsa is Materis Labala. But what he wants to say is that... Rav Hamnuna holds like the Mordechai. The Nogu says, fine, I'll put three Nafkaminas Yisr Sota. The Nogu says, I'm putting three Nafkaminas together in this Chakira. You, Mordechai, hold the Vlad of the Mamzer, she's in Zan in the Shuk. You hold that it's called Dabar Sheva Erva, whether she is a Yavama or not. That works fine for Hamnuna. I admit Rav Hamnuna holds like your side of Chakira. Because Rav Hamnuna holds this in Yisr Sota, there's a real marriage relationship here. But he says, since we in Nesech Sota paskin against Rav Hamnuna, we paskin there's no Yisr Sota, therefore we paskin there's no Mamzerus, and it doesn't say anywhere in Shasta there's Mamzerus. And we would pass that it's not a Dabar Sheva Erva, and you don't need to age him. So this Chakira, this Machlok's Noda Yud, and the Mordechai are exactly arguing about this Chakira. Is a Yavama an Ashes Ish, Ka'ashes Ish, or is a Yavama not Ka'ashes Ish? And the Mordechai says, Yavama Ka'ashes Ish. Noda Yud says, you know what, that might be true according to Rav Hamnuna, but not the way we pass him. The way we pass him, she's not Ka'ashes Ish. And I would just throw in one more sugya where this comes up. See, we're running out of room here, so we'll just throw in here. Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. What is it on the base? Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. I'm an Aleph, I apologize. As a Shaklavataria, where it just comes up in terms of the Shaklavataria. The Gemara says, what about it's an interesting case. A guy died without kids. But as far as we knew, he had no brothers, and he said he had no brothers. So what are you going to tell the wife? She's allowed to remarry. There are no brothers. Then someone comes and says, yes, but there are Eidim in Timbuktu who know that he has brothers. Now, obviously, if someone just came and said, you know, I think maybe there could be Eidim who know that he has brothers, we would say, give me a break. Right? If someone says, you know, I heard a rumor that he has brothers, we would say, give me a break. But someone says, no. I know two guys who can come and testify that he has brothers. That's what Eidim Tzadistan, the Teyasar or Lo Teyasar. I know two guys, I'll tell you their names. My friends Reuben and Shimon are ready to testify that he has brothers. Just, they're in Medina Sayyam now. So what do we do? Do we say we're Mater because there's no Eidim that he has brothers? Or do we say, because of Chshash, of Chumar, of Yisrud HaRaisa, we wait for them to come from Medina Sayyam? So the Gemara says, hold on, in the case of Shvuya, right, a Shvuya is Asur Midrabanan to a Kohen, it's a Beforish Gemara. Eidim san istan v'te'oser bitmiya. Your Cohen's going to marry someone, or the kids wants to be work on the mizbeach. And I have two Eidim in Medina Sayyam who knew the mother was a Shvuya. Who cares? We ignore the two Eidim. Gemara says, "Mekelu b'Shvuya." Right? Is the lashon of the Gemara. Nekel be'ishes ish. Fine, we're making a Shvuya. Will we be Mekel in an Ashes Ish? And therefore, they were Machmir. And Mekel of Ashvuya says Abaye. Nekel be Ashes Ish? Will we be Mekel in Ashes Ish? What does it mean, Nekel be Ashes Ish? Ekel be'ishzish. We're not talking about ishzish. We're talking about yivam l'shach. The girl wanted to get remarried. There are two eikas. She claimed her husband had no brothers. And there are eidim in Timbuktu who say she's a yivam l'shach. So the Gemara says, we can't be mekel in an ishzish. Ishzish is very chomer. What does the Rashbam say? The Rashbam says, Beit Mia the Iker Isser Chenek or Becheskas Isser. She's Becheskas Isser Chenek. So the Bach on the side says, what do you mean Isser Chenek? It's a lav. No Chenek for your Vam L'shuk. The Bach says, I'm going to ask of Eina Ishizish. V'leka Chenek ki im lav. We'll see Ishizish Chutz. I mean, come on, come on. The Kodesh is by Lois Becheskas Ishizish. And Dain Becheskas also Isser Omedes. V'zeu Isser Chenek. Lo Chenek Mamash. Rak Isser Chenek Shahaya Bolin Stalik Mian Archinifter Mizikas Yivava. He says, what does Rav mean? Obviously, she's not an Isser Chenek now, but she did have an Isser Chenek, and that Isser Chenek didn't go away yet until we proved that it went away. What is Rashbam saying? Either the Rashbam, he obviously doesn't mean Yevam L'shuk is an Isser Chenek. What he means is that it's a continuation of the Isser Chenek. It's a real Ishus. It's just downgraded a little, right? It's just a lower form. After all, you have cases where, okay, it could be Usser, and then the Isser could be a little less covered, but it's the same Isser. So the Rashbam thinks that how can we make on Yevam L'shuk? That is an Isser Chenek. Either because he really thinks it's Ishus, he means it's an Isser Ishus Ish, just without the Chenek, but it's an Isser that has Chenek, it just doesn't. It's an Isser of the type of Isser Chenek, which happens to not have Chenek. Right. Or he just means it's a continuation of the old Isser. Says the Ritva, and then there are different days in all the Rishonim here, but I'll just contrast with the Ritva. The Ritva says, what are you talking about? It's not an Isser Chenek, it's Isser Lav. It's not a continuation of the Isser Chenek. No, she was Bechezgas, not being a Yivam L'shuk. Don't tell me she was Bechezgas Eishes Ish. She was Bechezgas, not being a Yivam L'shuk. So she's still not a Yivam L'shuk. So the Ritva says, what they Eishes Ish Lav Davka, what they mean is, if we're Mekel and Shvuya, who is likely to be not defiled, because Menavla, that's the parentheses in ours, here there's a Menavla Nafshel Gabi Shevoi. In those days, when a woman was captured, she would be Menavel herself, so that the captors wouldn't be interested in her, and therefore the odds are that she wasn't defiled. If you're Mekel in the case of the odds are, even if she was Shvuya, you'd be like Sveik Sveika. Maybe she was Shvuya, maybe she wasn't. Even if she was Shvuya, maybe she was Nitna, maybe she wasn't. Have to be Mekel in something where there's no other Tzad L'Hakel. In which case, he says, Eishes Lav Davka. It's so striking that he used the phrase, but he says, Lav Davka just meant when we don't have an additional suffix Lahakil. So I think this is really the same Machlokas. Ritva says, Eishes Ish Lav Davka. And the Rashbam says, Isser Chenek. Now, if you want to be Medayi, again, you can interpret them in two ways. Either Rashbam says it's a really chomer Isser, like an Isser Chenek, and the Ritva says it isn't, and it's just because you don't have an additional suffix lahakel, or the Rashbam says it's Chezkas Isser, because it's a continuation of the old Isser. The Ritva says it's Chezkas Heter, because it's not a continuation of the old Isser. But either way, it comes down to the same thing. The Rashbam thinks this is basically a continuation, a kind of Ishus Ish. The Ritva says, no way. This is in no way more chomer than Shvuya. You know the only reason for chomer than Shvuya? Because Shvuya is menavelis nafshel gabi shavoi, and this woman isn't. But really, there's no chumra of this over and above Shvuya. So the Rashbam thinks that's chumra varayas. The Ritva says there is no chumra. There's just a kula by Shvuya, because an additional suffix that maybe she was nishbase, maybe she wasn't, and even if she was nishbase, maybe she was nitma, maybe she wasn't. Okay, so this is a brief summary of the nature of the Isser of Yevam L'shuk and the status of Yevam L'shuk and, you know, why there may or may not be Tfisa Kedushin in Yevam L'shuk. Now, we have another few minutes. That's what happens to me. I'm purely off the daf shiur. I use a lot of boards. We'll make up for it next time. Okay. Once we mentioned already, though, this Gemara on Kedushin Daf Dalet on the Beis, then we have to just deal with one other very, very important question about the nature of Yibam. And to do that, we have to go back to what I quoted to you from the Kedushin Daf Dalet on the Beis, and I will quote it again not to worry. And we'll answer, I think it was Aaron's question maybe, or Simcha's, as to how Kiddushin makes, how Yiva makes you marry. One thing is very clear. The Gemara says that when you do Yiva, it doesn't just accomplish a mitzvah say, it doesn't just possibly make her be making Shema Meis, it creates a marriage, right? Yivama Niknes Vibia. Right? Ulokachalo Leisha Vibma. Once you've miyabim her, then she becomes his wife. The question is, how does how is Yivam Kone? Now, what do I mean by this question? What does Yivam seem strikingly similar to? Kiddushi Bia, right? You should make this Keshtar Bia. There's even a Havamina that you could learn Kiddushi Bia from Yivam. Right? So the question is, is Yibam, let's just look at this Maharik for a second, right? The Maharik is on the Makor sheet. This is a very, very famous Maharik. It's in the context of one question, but he's arguing with the Shoel. He doesn't have the names in general, the Maharik, of the people who asked the question, so I'm not sure who he's arguing with. The Maharik says, you think Yibam is not a kind of Kiddushin. I think it's Pasha that Yibam is a kind of Kiddushin. And he makes her asul kuli alma, just like someone who's mekadesh abalak or biyasul mechenek, and he makes her kind of chenek for adultery, just like kedushin. The ain koach le kedushin only nizet. Says what is kedushin? Kedushin is kona makes her asul everyone else with the iser chenek. So to yibam. The chemochi and namarish for a kind of the kedushin to buy the male of shnei isha miskadesh bevia miyavam shnei kis bevia. The question I want to say, there is no Kiddushin in Yivama. There's just Yivam, but there's no Kiddushin. He says, no, there is Kiddushin. There's just only one kind of Kiddushin instead of three kinds of Kiddushin. That's the machlokas between the Maharik. The Maharik says that it's Kiddushin Bia. What's the special din of Yivama? Normal woman has three kinds of Kiddushin. The special din of Yivama is that the Torah eliminated two of the types and just left one. You can't do Kesem and Shtar. You could only do Bia. However, the Shoel assumed that it is not Kiddushin. If it's not Kiddushin, then how is she, if you didn't do Kiddushin, how is she married to you? If you didn't do Kiddushin, how is she married to you? So, let's come back then a second. Okay, good. Let's come back then 1 second. We see the Maharik's Raya. What's the Maharik's Raya? The Maharik's Raya was, there was a Havamina to learn Kiddushin Bia from Yibam, if not for this little Pircha. So from the Havamina of learning Kiddushin Bia from Yibam proves that Yibam is Kiddushin Bia, right? The proof, the Havamina, in Kiddushin, he's saying, is there ever a Havmini to learn Kiddushin Bia from, is there ever a Havmini to learn Kiddushin Bia from Mitzvah's Ona? Is there a Havmini to learn Kiddushin Bia from Ona's and Mephatha? Is there a Havmini to learn Kiddushin Bia from any place else that's the word Bia in the Torah? No, because those aren't the kind of Kiddushin. It's only a Havmini to learn Kiddushin Bia from where we find that Bia is Kiddushin. So he has a good point. From that, Havmina proves that Yibam is a kind of Kiddushin Bia, and that all the Torah did was eliminate two-thirds of the modes of Kiddushin and leave us with one-third. Of course, what is the Shoel going to say back to him? Yeah. The Shoel is going to say back to him, he says, that's very nice that the Havmina was that way, but that's exactly what the Gemara meant. And Askana, you're saying, oh, I'll prove to you, the Havmina, the Gemara, except for this little Zekukub Yomendis, they were ready to go with it. So the Shoel would say back to Maharik, say, no, it's not except for this little technical problem. That's exactly the Shaksari. The Hav means that it's Kiddushin Bia. And the Kamash Malan is that it's not Kiddushin Bia, it's something else called Zekuka Vilmedes. And and his proof is the Pircha in Kiddushin, which says Shekain Zekuka. The Omedes, they have two different ways of reading the Pircha. The Maharik says The Pircha, this is always the way that I always learn to analyze what you have a Havmina and then you have a Maskana or a Pircha. Right? Is the Pircha basically agreeing to the Havmina but saying you have a technical problem with your Limur? Or is the Pircha basically disagreeing with the Havmina? Right? The Havmina is that Yivam is Kedusha Biyah and it's a good model to prove you can always do Kedusha Biyah. But Rick says the Havmina is still right. The Pircha is just there's some technical difference in the cases and one is stronger than the other and therefore you can't prove to all cases. The Shul would say no. The Pircha is you are fundamentally wrong all along. The Pircha is not just accepting the idea of the Havmina but throwing in a technical monkey wrench. Pircha is saying you're driving the wrong direction. It's not putting down the toll booth. It's pointing out that you're driving in the opposite direction. Saying you thought that Yibam had to do with Kedushin. But yeah, no. Yibam is not Kona because of Kedushin. Yibam is Kona because of a different reason called Zekuka V'Omedes. What did that different reason of Zekuka V'Omedes mean? So?
Either Kedushin Rishon or Menashemayim.
What do you mean by Menashemayim? Okay, very good. I think that, just to say over what Aaron said, using the Rishonim Kedushin, what is a Kuka V'Omedes? I think that means either, not Kedushin, either Kone, either it's Kone, B'Gzeiras HaKosov, because of the mitzvah, and that would match the pshat of the Ri. Zekuka V'Omedes, the mitzvah is to do Biyah. The mitzvah is to do Biyah. And if the mitzvah is to do Biyah, there's a gzeiras hakasuv. When you do the mitzvah, you're Kona. You're not Kona through Kinyan. You're Kona through mitzvah. Awesome. So when is a mitzvah Kona? It's a special gzeiras hakasuv. The mitzvah is Kona. Or, you're just accepting, or even better, just confirming or adopting a pre-existing ishus. That's not kiddushin. Kiddushin means you marry someone. Here she's already married. What do you have to do? After all, she's already married. There's already ishus. Going back to our chakira. What do you have to do? You just have to either confirm that you're the brother who wants to do this and you don't choose to get out of it, or adopt and step into your brother's shoes and take over his ishus. But that is what sounds like from Rashi and the Rebbe Elazar Mishazda, that Zekuka V'Omedes means there's already Ishus here. If there's already Ishus here, then you're not creating Ishus. So this is a fundamental hakira that my Rick brings up. Is Yibam creating Ishus through Kedushin, or Yibam not creating Ishus? The Ishus happens on its own. The Ishus just is confirmed or is created by the mitzvah. The Ishus comes from Mela. The Ishus comes to Melos. Here it's Kedushin Biyah, which creates the Ishus. Or you say it's not Kedushin. The Ishus comes Mimela. Now, Aaron will tell me what's a cute phrase for the idea that the Ishus comes Mimela. Isha, that is the invention of the. It's not really the invention of the Rambam, but it is. The Gemara used the phrase Isha Hikmelobana Shemayim. But not in this context. The Gemara says something different. The Gemara says he doesn't have to pay ksuba from his own property because isha hikmi lo min hashamayim. That I wouldn't have made a big deal out of. That's how much money it's fair that he should have to pay. That's the only place the Gemara says this phrase. The Gemara says the phrase isha hikmi lo min hashamayim only in terms of paying the ksuba. It's not fair for him to pay the ksuba from his own money. Rather, he pays it for the money inherited from the mace. Because isha hekel lomana shemayim, that makes sense. Meaning he didn't decide to marry her; it was God's idea for him to marry her, not his idea for him to marry her. Therefore, he shouldn't have to spend so much money. That I wouldn't have made a big deal out of. The chiddush of the Rambam, and the Rambam even says at the very beginning, he helps even Mechalitza, which makes you think that he really means something by it. I mean, he always does. The Rambam says mitzah seim nator sheyabim adam eshes achem me'aved beim nesuv min eiros and meis below zera shenema ravene lo yivamach yavo aleha u'minator ain't tzarch lekadosh yivimto minator you don't need kedushin shezo ishto he shehiknu salom and hashamayim eli yavo lo k'subas alech bala shemeis minator you don't need kedushin just do bia Because Isha Hiklum and Ashmaim. What would Mar Rikiv said? Mar Rikiv said, Min HaTorah, you do need Kiddushin. Kiddushin Bia. What do you mean a Torah? You don't need Kiddushin, just do Bia. Min HaTorah, I can go to any girl in the street and do Kiddushin Bia. Right? Now, the Rambam says, you don't have to do Kiddushin at all, not even Kiddushin Bia. And here's where it's Machrach that the Rambam holds. Now, the problem with Marik versus whoever the Marik was writing to, we don't know his name. Now we have a name, it's Mokrach, the Rambam holds, like the Shoel of the Marik, and that's what the Rambam means by Isha Hiknu Lo Min Hashemayim. You're not marrying her through Yibam. You're doing Yibam. How did you end up marrying? Meila, the Torah says, when you do Yibam, you're married. Why would the Torah say when you deem you're married? Either because you're picking up on the pre-existing Ishas, or because the mitzvah is exerts a custom that the mitzvah creates an Ishas because the mitzvah wants to continue. But it doesn't matter. The Ikar is, you're not marrying someone. Mainly you're becoming married to her when you do this thing called Yibam. The Ma'arik would have been very upset with this Rambam. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he had a Rambam at home. I don't know what he thought about it. But because the Ma'arik was one of the later Achronim, so he, I'm sure, learned Rambam. But the Ma'arik would say, no, I would write this a little differently. That min ha-Torah ein tzarech l'kadosh b'kesev u'shtar ela yavo aleha v'yikne'o sal le'isha. That's what I would have written if and you're kona for yourself. What is Isha Hiklom Shemayim? Ma'arik would say, that's when Chazal is discussing when it's fair to pay the ksuba. That has nothing to do with the nature of Yibam. The Rambam says, no. Take look at this phrase. Isha Hakulomana Shemayim means the Yavam is not being Kona Yivama. Hashem's making the marriage. He's just doing the mitzvah of Yibam. These are two fundamentally different ways to understand Yibam. Is it that you do the mitzvah of Yibam and then everything clicks into place? Or that, no, when you do the mitzvah of Yibam, you're doing a kinyan of, a kinyan of Kiddushei Bia. It could be that, I'm sorry, the Or Sameach pointed out here that the Rambam was the opposite of the Ma'arik, and then tried to bring some, rayas for it. Okay, you can look at all the rayas. I'll just give you his best raya. His best raya for the Rambam against the Ma'arik was a Tosfos, an Armasechet. This is the middle of a whole involved Tosfos, but Tosfos is pretty explicit. On Mem Tesem and Beis, in the first skinny line, it says, "Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Davi Ko Ovi Chavin Kocham VeEved Sheein Ba Kiddushin L'Shem Adam." That a Yavama is like an Ovi Kocham and Eved who has no Kiddushin to anyone. What do you mean no Kiddushin to anyone? She can't marry anyone else, right? Meaning Kiddushin or a toe face for anyone else. We're interrupt. Ulu Yavam Nami La Bas Kiddushin Hei Ela Bia Hu De'Isba. She can't even have Kiddushin to the Yavam. He can do Bia, but she can't have Kiddushin. The Rabbeinu Tam sounds pretty clearly, points out the Or Sameach, like the Rambam, like the Shoel and the Ma'arik, that Afilu Yavam Ein Lo Ba Kiddushin, Ela Biyu De'Isba. He does Bia, but that's not Kiddushin, that's something else, that's Bia. So it turns out that a lot of people are against the Ma'arik here. There might be a significant nafkamina of this, although those who are familiar with the famous Rav Chaim and Hilchos Yibam V'Chalitza might be aware that he has a slightly different angle, but there's a fundamental hakira. Let me just ask you. It's actually, I think there's not on the sheet. Oh, great. Okay. Let me ask you, what would be your great nafkamina? The Yavam comes to you. The Yavam comes to you and says, I'm ready to do my mitzvah of Yibam. I'm excited about doing a mitzvah daseh. Are there any instructions? I mean, I know I have to be boulder. Any instructions about how I have to do that? What would you answer? Okay, midoraisa. Midoraisa. Do l'shem. Well, I'm doing l'shem yibam. It's shirs kavana. It's good enough. Whatever. Right? Do I need anything? Just bia? Do I have no props? No context? Okay, ksuba. True. It's also midravana. How about edim? Do I need edim? Right? Kiddushei bia needs edim. Obviously, not in an inappropriate way. We say, or, I mean, it's still not so appropriate, but we say, hein, hein, edi, yichud, hein, hein, edi, bia, right? The Edom don't see kamachal b'shvil feres. The Edom see the yichud, the shein, bia. And we suffice with that for various reasons. But do I need Edom for Yibam? You know, do I need Edus l'kima davar? What will you answer the Yavam? Why? So you're saying davar shebe'erva. So that's where I said it gets a little tricky. But perhaps you might say that it depends what's going on here. Maybe it should depend what you're doing. Let's look for a minute at the Shilta Gibora. If you turn, I'm not going to find it here. Anyone have a traditional Gemara with a regular pagination of the Rif? Yes? Could you just turn to the Rif pages to Lamed Tes Amud Aleph? Page Lamed Tes Amud Aleph Daf Beis Rif. Are we going to be able to find it in ours? You have it? Just read the top of the Shilta Gevurim. Yeah, try that. Yeah, okay, I found it. Who has an Oz V'Hadar? Anyone have an Oz V'Hadar? An Oz V'Hadar, go to page Kuf Yud Gimel of the Rif, and it's like two-thirds of the way through the Shilta Gevurim. But in the old-fashioned Gemaras, it's Tandaf Lama Tesam and Aleph, it's the first line. V'nira Be'inai, right? Read, I have it. V'nira Be'inai, Shem Lo Kana Seyam Yevintel, it's Yachnim Be'edim. If he didn't marry her and didn't do Yichud Be'edim, Ushneim Moli Shaval, they both admit they did Bia. They both admit they did Bia. There was just no Edim. Below Ede Yichud, Lo Niknes Lo Oso Be'akinyan Gomer, it's not, they're not married. The Enu Yachal Fodu Beget Lo Chalitza, she still needs Chalitza, they can't get divorced without Chalitza. Shekashem Shekadush Megarison, Shrikhan Edim, Kachim, Chalitza, Shrikhan Edim, Kavur, Bekontras Ha, Rayos. He says, what do you mean? You need Edim for Yibam. If they both admit, if Eliyonavi comes and tells us that there was a Bia between the Yavam and the Yavama, they're still not married because we know Kiddushin, if there are no Edim, this is all of Ramosha's Kulas, right? Kiddushin, if there's no Edim, is not Chal at all. It's not just that we don't know that it's not Chal. That's called Edus Lakim Adavar. It doesn't even Chal. It doesn't take effect without Edim. So too for Yibam. However, that's not so Pashin. There's a Shut Rashba. Chelik Dalit, Simin Shin Chav Ches. I mean, there's many Rishonim in both directions, right? There's a Ritva, Natosus Rush, and a Meiri who hold like this Shilta Gevurim. But Rav Chaim is Medayik that the Ram holds like Shut Rashba. The Shut Rashba is a great question. I don't think Yibam needs Edim. Even if they did it in private, their Kona. What do you need Edim? They're not doing Kiddushin. It's Hiknu Lomana Shemayim. What do you need Edim if it's Hiknu Lomana Shemayim? Could you make us these? Okay, then he brings a proof. says the Mishnah talks about what if she claims there was no Bia, he claims there was Bia, who do we believe? Why don't we just say if there's no Edim, then it doesn't make a difference. And she's not married. So the answer. So what did the Rashba say? The Rashba says that the question is, would you say, Nafkamina, do you need Eidos Lekiyom Hadavar for Yibam? Certainly, we would agree with the Shilta Gevurim that if it's Kiddushei Bia, of course you need to keep a double by Kiddushei Bia. However, if you said it's Isha Hekel and Shemayim, then you might say still you need Aegis Lakiyam Adavar, because in the end, it's going to come out to be a marriage, right? This is getting already a little far afield. You might still say, regardless of what happens, since in the end it's going to be a chalos of marriage, you need this give. But perhaps you could say, like the Shut Rashba, if anyone wants to look it up, it's Chilek Dalet Simin Shin Chav Ches, who says, don't need Edim, and he says why? Because Isha Hiknu Lo Min Hashemayim, echoing the Rambam, says, what do you mean? You're not being Kona anyone. You're not doing Kiddushin. It's happening automatically. You don't need Edim when things happen automatically, only when you do them. Only if you're doing Kiddushin. Here, you're not doing Kiddushin. It's just happening. So that's a very, very clear.
Is that tied to this other question later about can you need Das or not?
Well, you definitely don't need Das. So the truth is, this is what I'm not going into this now, but you could take two other ways of analyzing the machlokes of whether you need Aegis Lakiyam Adavar or not. Another way you could say is that maybe even if you agree that you're not doing Kiddushin, you're not doing Kiddushin, but in the end, Kiddushin is going to be, Ishus is going to be there. So the question is Aegis Lakiyam Adavar necessary when you have a result of Davar Shav Erva, or only when you're doing a Maisa of Davar Shav Erva? The way Reb Chaim analyzed it a little differently Rav Chaim sees it as Rav Chaim is actually analyzing similar. He's just saying, since you don't need das, it is muchrach that you're not doing anything with halos that's happening in the Mela. So basically, Rav Chaim, he has a whole thing where he ties Eidus L'Kiyum Adarim to das. That's his whole vart here. Says you only Eidus L'Kiyum Adarim when you have das, and here you don't have any das. But what he's trying to say, if you analyze Rav Chaim properly, is that since you don't need das for Yibam, we know, Bein B'Shogi, Bein B'Mezit, Bein B'Onus, Bein B'Ratzon is Kana. So you don't need das. Says therefore, that proves you're not really creating a Chalos, it's happening in the Shemayim. And that's why you don't need Eidus L'Kiyum Adarim.
But whether you're creating it or not, according to everybody, there's a change of status.
Correct, that's what
unless
I said.
And then it's a change of status.
That's why I wrote perhaps. You could say once there's a change of status, it doesn't matter why you're
doing it. Why?
Correct. So what you could really say, and this is sort of what Rav Chaim hints at, is that it could be everyone agrees that you're not doing Kiddushin, but there is a change of status. The machlokas is Eidus L'Kiyum Adarim part of a process of you using your power to change something? Or is Eidus L'Kiyum Adarim a legal requirement to ascertain changes of status? And that is another way of analyzing it. You have to look at the Rechaim here, but I'm not going there now.
Maybe he can look at Shemayim, so that it sounds like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is making the Kiddushin, who's making the Kiddushin, so maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need Eidin. In other words, that sounds because of the Haraya, you need to get. So the result is obvious.
Correct. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about, but again, I'm not going to go there now, as fascinating as it is. I just want to point out one thing, which I'm also not going to properly... Just point out two other things that I'm also not going to properly talk about, but this, you can tie this back if you look in your notes to a few things we discussed, but another nafkamina might be, what if you have Yibum... you know what, I'm not going to... make things too complicated. Okay, I'll just point out that you might want to tie in this question. Let's say you could have, in a rare case, Yibam that's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Would it still be Kona? If you viewed Yibam as Kiddushin Bia, you would say, even if you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah, it's still Kona. But if you would view Yibam as Min HaShemayim, then maybe when you do the Mitzvah, it's Hikmelo Min HaShemayim. But if you don't do the Mitzvah, it's not Hikmelo Min HaShemayim. The question is, what's an example of Yibam that's not Mekayim the Mitzvah? One example might be perhaps a katan spot for mitzvahs, but then the problem is you might have trouble doing kiddushin bia anyway. So it might be mitzvah shrichas kavana if you don't have kavana. Let's say mitzvah shrichas kavana. If mana mitzvah shrichas kavana, if you do it without kavana, you know, would you? That has to do with what we discussed in Abishal and the cheshbons of relating that to the first mishnah in the sixth parak of Bal Yevinto. But if you say it's kiddushin bia, as long as you're kavana, as long as you were trying to marry someone. Or even if you weren't, we'll see. If you say that it's mitam a mitzvah, then maybe if you're not mitam the mitzvah, then Hashem's not going to be makam in a shemayim. But that's already all over the place. We're not going to get through. I just want to point out one vart, which we don't. Yeah.
See, another nafkamina is do a yibam al
tnai. Well, everyone agrees you can't do yibam al tnai. Does everyone agree? Everyone agrees you can't do yibam al tnai. I think everyone agrees you can't do Yibam al Tnai. It's true, this is a whole vart that I don't have written anywhere. It's not even so clear why you could do Kedushin Bia al Tnai. Meaning, I think that there's this very strong half meaning Kedushin of Ayin Dalet that you can't do Bia al Tnai regardless. But in the end, you can't do Kedushin Bia al Tnai. So I've never heard of Yibam al Tnai, probably because you don't need Das. It's hard to imagine you can do it al Tnai. But I, if there is a sheet of floating out there that says you can do Yibam al Tnai, I would hear it.
It would go against the concept of Ein Adam Sabino Sabino Zanus. Because it's when you say Kedushin Al Tanai, Kesef Vishtar. But here, he's.
Correct, but that gets into that whole Machlokes Rishonim and that Sugya and the Ra'ah and everyone there in Ksubas Daf Ayin Hey, which we're not going to get into now. That has to do with the whole controversy in France 100 years ago about the Aguna, solving the Aguna problem by making Kedushin Al Tanai. Can you really have Bia Al Tanai? And as you know, student of Jewish history or of Maseches Kedushin. Knows that was a big issue. I'll just point out very, very briefly, and now is not the time to go into it. This is really something you could spend a week on. I think the reason why most people didn't agree with Maharif, on the one hand, I see where the Maharif is coming from. Bia makes you married. It seems too good to be coincidence, right? Looks like Kedushin Bia to me. and the Ibn Avloshim. the Chazal of Drasha, Bia Gomer Esbava in Kesav Ashtar Gomer Ba. Okay, Bia Gomer Esbava in Kesav Ashtar Gomer Ba. Right? Even as a, where is that Lashon? It'll come to me when I stop thinking about it. But I'm not going to look for it now. Why do most people disagree with Ma'arik? I sort of suspect the reason all that most Rishonim disagree, right, the Rashi was also against the Ma'arik. The reason why most Rishonim disagree with Ma'arik is probably because Habal Yevinto, Bein Be'ones, Bein Be'ratzon, Bein Be'mezit, Bein Be'shogei Kana. Right? It's very hard to imagine you can have Kiddush Bia without Das. You don't need das, and I don't just mean you don't need das like you don't need das like you don't need full 100% das, etc. You don't even need das on a very basic level, right? You don't even need to know exactly what you're doing or to know that you're getting married, etc., etc. Right? Bein ba'onus bein ba'ratzon, feel of bein b'meiz bein mishogei. Right? Even l'shem snosir kona. So it's hard to call that kedusha bia if you don't have das. That seems to be a pretty fundamental element in Kiddushin. So La'aniyas Daiti, I think that the best raya is that there's no das, which really makes you think that it's hikmul min hashamayim. Why did the Rambam so sure there's no Kiddushin? Maybe it's Kiddushin Bia. Kiddushin Bia, you need to have das, Gemurah. You can even make a Tanayim Kiddush Bia, probably. But you certainly need that full Das. Here, Bein Ba'onis, Bein Ba'ratzon, Bein Mishogi, Bein Be'mezet, it doesn't... you have to have Kavanah for Bia. If the guy thinks he's not doing Bia, then that's a Misasik B'Alma. That's a very, very low standard. As long as he knows he's doing Bia, then that's good enough. So it's maybe even if he doesn't know who's doing Bia with, that's good enough. That is very, very strange. So I think that this gets into a very, very fundamental question, which I'm just going to summarize for 3 minutes now. But the nature of Kiddushei Bia, I think that what the Ma'arik might say would say that Kiddushei Bia doesn't need das. What do I mean by Kiddushei Bia doesn't need das? Clearly that's not true. But before we explain how it can be true if it's not true, let's just bring the rayas, right? There's no point proving something's not true unless you first bring rayas that it is true. And then you feel the need to explain yourself. We find many makoros here and there that Kiddushei Bia doesn't need das. I'll just mention three of them that I put on the makoros sheet here. One is the opinion of, I think it's Shmuel. Shmuel has a radical opinion that you shall be Kiddushei. Machlokes like Rabbi Lazar and Shmuel, Goyim only are kona through Bia. That's what the Yerushalmi says. And I think the Bavli would agree. Goyim are kona through Bia. Shmuel says, even without Das. What does he mean, even without Das? He says, you mean if two Goyim go to a prostitute after the first time she's married to the first client and then the second one's Chaya for Eishes Ish? He says, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Two clients and one Zona. The first day of her career. After the first client, she's an Eishes Ish, and the second one's Chayim Misa for Eishes Ish. Now that is exceedingly radical. Really? Like Mamish Azona? Like, that's the least das you could possibly have. She's Mamish Azona, a professional Zona. She's a shingle outside that says Zona. The Zona is in. And you're going to claim that that creates Kiddushin? So obviously he's there talking about Kiddushin of Yisrael. He's talking about B'nai Noah. But still, even the fact that by B'nai Noach it could be Chal without Das already makes us suspect something. And then we have two days that even by Yisraelim, Kiddushei Kesem and Shtar need Das, but Kiddushei Bia doesn't need full Das. What kind of people don't have Das? And? Katan, Shota? And a Cheresh. Okay, I don't have anything on my sleeve about Shota. Shota, but the Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Perek Cheresh, in Yevamos, says, it's the whole Perek Cheresh about the fact that if a Cheresh here means a deaf mute, right, it was no das. If a Cheresh marries, it's not Chalmi Doraisa. Say, that's true of Kesef and Shtar. But Bibiya, what's the Lashon? Read me the Lashon of the morning, read me the Yerushalmi. Exactly. If he's Mekadosh Babia, then he's Kedusha or Daraisa, and his Gershon is not Midaraisa, and therefore she's not divorced. Right? The whole principle is, if a Cheresh marries and divorces, his marriage Rabbanon, his divorce Rabbanon, it works, but if he marries to Bia, he's married to Daraisa. So the Yerushalmi thinks a Cheresh can do not Kesef and Shtar, but he can do Bia Midaraisa. And there's a strange Rashi Madura Kama, quoting the Shita Mugubetzes in Ksubas. I don't know exactly what kind of Rashi Madura Kama this was. I don't know how old Rashi was when he wrote this Madura Kama. Truth is, if you're interested in the Mechkar, the whole literature about who wrote Rashi Madura Kama, which is not for now. But he says, if a katan is Mekadosh, how can you say he's Kona? A 9-year-old boy. Be also bia to be mkona. He just can't do kesef and shtar. So Rashi madur kama. I know this is Shita's Yachid. It's only madur kama of Rashi, but thinks that a kata can be kona kedushe bia. And Yerushalmi thinks a cheresh can be kona kedushe bia. So hold on. You start adding things together, and you see the Yerushalmi thinks goyim are kona bal karcha be kedushe bia. We don't go that far for Jewish halacha. But the Yerushalmi thinks a cheresh can be kona even though he doesn't have das. Rashi thinks a katan can be kona even though he doesn't have das. So what's going on here? Obviously, kedusha bia is different than kesef and shtar. That's one thing that is proven. Kedusha bia is different from kesef and shtar. And, you know, without going through all the makoros. Why is kedusha bia different than kesef and shtar? The answer is very obvious. What's the difference between kedusha bia and kedusha kesef and shtar? This common sense. I want to marry someone. What am I doing when I'm doing kesef and shtar? What? I am formally agreeing, right, committing to have something called a marriage. What am I doing when I do bia? I am married, right? What is that bia? Don't imagine bia is some coincidental maisa kinyan. Bia is ishus. What's the lashon? Vihi b'ulas baal, right? Or kiyishkav misha b'ulas baal, right? A husband is a baal. He is boel, right? Ki yigachish isha uvala. What yigach means we need zera shabbos. No, by all means. The kesef and shtar is a maisa kinyan for ishus. Bia is a maisa ishus. That is what ishus is all about. That is the whole mahos of the ishus. Obviously, the mahos of the ishus is not just the bia between them. It's that the bia is exclusively between them. But that is the whole mahos of the ishus. That is v'davak ishta v'hayu l'basar echad, according to all the pirushim. Gilurayas
is bia, that's the exact opposite of ishus.
Ah, okay. Gili Arayas is a perverted bia.
It's the exact opposite of Ishus.
Exactly. It's Znus. There's such a thing as Znus, right? Znus is a perverted bia. But my point is that Alpi Halacha, what I'm claiming Alpi Halacha, I think Alpi Hashgacha is obviously right, but I'm claiming Alpi Halacha, and I'm also right, is that bia is a Maisa Ishus. Znus is a perverted bia that is not what it's supposed to be, that is not doing what it's supposed to be. I admit you can do bia znus. But bia znus is not like, what I'm saying, it's not like bia is znus. But you can do it for ishus. Bia is a maisa ishus. If someone wants to pervert it and do it for znus, then no one's stopping them, other than the commandments of the Torah. No one's physically stopping them. But bia is naturally a maisa ishus. What they used to call here under, you know, Ariel Sharon in his previous Hashgafa, facts on the ground theory, right? You can say whatever you want, you can do it, make whatever commitments you want. If there are facts on the ground, then that's what's Kobeya. Kesef and Shtar is saying whatever commitment you want, and talk it works, al pi halacha. And you have to live up to your commitments. But Bia is Ishus. So obviously, Kesef and Shtar, that the whole point is I'm using my Das to create an abstract halos. Then I'm just, Bia is Ishus. That's why for Bnei Noach, there could be a radical Shita, that whether you like it or not, it's Ishus. We're not going to say that for Kedusha Yisrael. Even for Bnei Noach, we're not going to pass it that way. That's too radical. But the point might be, you don't need to be a Gadol. You could be a Cheresh or a Katan. You're doing a Maisa Ishus. You just have to, now here's a great phrase, you don't have to have Das that you're making Halos. It's right there. All you have to know is to have Kavana to make sure you're not doing a, you're not being Osa, the Ilaso, Bilas Nus. What is Einad of Osa Bilas Bilas Nus? Means a Bias Bias Ishus, unless you're Osa and a Bilas Nus. So you have to know whether you're making it, that's what I answered Yoni. You can be Osa and a Bilas Nus. Yeah, if you want to pervert nature and make it a Bias Nus, then no one's stopping you. But now this ties into a million sugyas, which we have no time to go into because I have minus 10 minutes left. But the whole question, in order to also be los nos, I'm just going to throw out. What does it mean? This is exactly what looks like Moshe Rav Henkin. With halacha, the nafmina lemaisa is whether half the Jews in America are mamzerim or not, right? And this is not just abstract lumdus. What does Rav Moshe say? He says they never had in mind kedushei bia. He says they never had in mind kedushei bia. Ein anam osu bilas bilas nos. Ein anam osu bilas bilas nos means it's an umdah that a from person wouldn't want to do aveiros, so therefore he'd want kedushei bia. Since they're not from, there's no umdah. Worry, there's no umdah because of ignorance of various technical factors, and therefore he says no one's married except for Orthodox people who got married properly, and. If when they get remarried without a get, their kids aren't mamzerim. Rav Henkin says, no, you misunderstood. Einam also bilas v'bilas nos doesn't mean you need, if Rav Moshe thought bia was like kesef and shtar, you need full das to create an abstract chalos. And then the chazal of an umdina that people have das to create this chalos because they don't want to do aveiros. But that's not for our people. Rav Henkin says, no, bia is ishos. Chazal just had an umdina, you're not going to especially want to do znos. And if you don't specially want to do znos and you're living with someone, that's ishus. I'm living with someone. I'm having kids with her. You know, we have a bank account. We eat three meals a day together. You know, we have a family. So if there wouldn't be bia, that would be very nice, but that would be called a commune. But there's bia, so that's ishus. Ain't on most people's with znos. A stop person is not going to try to turn into znos for some weird reason. Like, it is ishus until you turn into znos. That's the machlokas, where Moshe says kedushei bia means das. And none of these American Jews have das. The non-Orthodox ones don't have das because they don't care about halacha. The Orthodox ones who had a problem in their kedushin don't have das because they don't realize there was a problem in their kedushin. Therefore, no one's really married. And if they get married without a get, their kids are kosher and shalom al Yisrael, and you can have bali tshuva. Rav Henkin says, what do you mean? Kedushei bia doesn't need das. You just need to be, you know, doing ishus and not doing znus. If people are married and they live in a house, they have kids together, obviously they're doing ishus, not znus. You don't have to know any fancy halachas or think any fancy things. Bia is naturally ishus, even for the cheresh and Yerushalmi, even for the katan rashi v'adur kama, unless you make it znus. That's two fundamentally different ways to learn. Same thing, heineni yichud, heineni de bia. Why don't they even have to see exactly what's going on? You might say, because it's not snius. Or you might say, because here, they're not really doing a form of halos kedushin. They're really just having a mitzias of ishus. And in a mitzias, you don't need the same level of edikiyam. That's obviously assuming there's two dinim and ages lekiyam and tavar, which I can't go into now. Anyway, all over shas, everything depends on this chakira, and every single status of half of American Jews nowadays depends on this chakira. Does kedushin be a really need das? And thank God for Rav Moshe, or no? Bia is ishos, unless you're doing znos. Unless, if you want, you can also znos, fine. But all else being equal, bia is ishos. You don't need das. So I think the Ma'arik would clearly hold, like Rav Henkin, he would say, no, you don't need das for kedushei bia. Bia is ishos. Now, of course, plus, Rav Henkin would say, bia is ishos. When is bia ishos? When you're doing it in an ishistic way, like you're moving into someone's house and having a family and having a bank account and all the other ishist things, or you have some relationship with someone. Obviously, Rav Henkin wouldn't say that if a guy picks up a girl in a bar and a one-night stand, that be his ishist, because they're doing znus. So what is the Ma'arik just adding? He says, fine, for a regular girl, if I have in mind that I want to live with her, you know, Lada Lonetza, that may have Esrin, then that's ishist. If it's a one-night stand, that's nus. But for a yavam, and that's because the regular girl has the whole shuk available to her, the regular guy has the whole shuk available to him. Who says they want to stick with each other? But a yavam and a yavama? A yavam and a yavama are supposed to marry each other. They're not allowed to go to the whole shuk. They're stuck with each other. Ah, if they're stuck with each other, that already creates a context of ishus. Once they're stuck with each other, then mela, there's a context of ishus, because they know they're supposed to live together. They're not looking around in the shuk for competition. She's not allowed to marry anyone else. And in the old days, he could have more than one wife, but he still has to marry her. So I think where Henk would say is that the Myrick's plus would be, you don't need full das in kedushei bia. You just need a basic derech of ishus. And he would say, once you have a yavam and yavama, it's already in the context of Ishas because the din of the Torah will kachalo the Isha, and therefore bein mishogi bein mezid bein beinus bonus finger rutzon. That's called derech Ishas because they already have the context of Ishas, which makes their act an Ishas kind of act and not as nus. They can't do a bias nus because they're already connected to each other. If you're connected to each other, how can you call that nus? So that's what he would just add to. I don't know if Rav Henkin would have agreed. He would add is that even without das, it's always ishus and not znus, because the Torah said that you're supposed to be living together.
But what if you have a case where they force someone to go do evil for some reason, and he has in mind, no, I'm just doing this way, so good time, tomorrow I'll get rid of him.
So the Ma'arik would say that even so, that's called ishus, even that's what he's adding something to your opinion, even so that's called ishus, and therefore even though he doesn't have das, it's an ishustic thing because it's when the Torah wanted you to have ishus, and therefore that's called the B of ishus. I'm not sure if there was negative das. That I'm a sopik about. That's not so clear. The Achzor HaKadosh say negative das could prevent evil. So negative das might be a different story. Okay, there's more to say, but I think that's enough for now. What I want to continue is the next mission that goes from Yud Ches Amud Beis till Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We only have 1 week left, but I want to chop, you know, either you have to do that whole blot and a half or none of it. Because the time it explains itself. So what I want to do is on Monday, just take these Makoros, please. On Monday, I want to speed as fast as we can. We didn't do any Gemara today, so we have to make up for it. Speed as fast as we can through the Gemara with Haros on sort of the basic ideas without getting into every detail of the Cheshvan and the Shakta Vataria. And then on Thursday, we'll finish the Gemara. At the end of the Gemara, it actually gets the most Yisodistic Lumdus. And end with that.